And then we see David was a youth. That Saul said to David, how can you go out and fight the giant when you are but a youth? But what, as a youth, what did he do? He killed, he defeated, he silenced the enemy.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of a powerful proclamation and a personal reflection from Psalm 8. Before we begin today's message, we've been offering the book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow, where we give you solid biblical answers about heaven. You don't have to turn to Hollywood. You don't have to turn to somebody that said they went there and came back, but you can go right to the Bible and find out what heaven is all about. And so in this book, we have written and given you biblical answers to your questions about heaven. Stay tuned and we'll let you know how you can get a copy of the book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Now, join us for the conclusion coming from Psalm 8, a powerful proclamation and a personal reflection.
Which refer to an angelic host of heavenly beings. So there seems to be some discrepancy about what the word angels actually means. Does it mean that man was created a little lower than God, or that he was created a little lower than the angels? All right, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that now, all right? So back to the notes. Man, Adam and Eve, we see here that how did he create them in verse 5? With glory and with honor. He created them with glory and honor. That before the fall of the human race, man was created with glory and honor. This was a perfect state that reflected the God who created them. That when God created Adam and Eve with glory and honor, everything about them reflected the majesty and the power and the glory and the honor of God. Now, a problem arises is that in this state that God gave them, they had dominion over all of his creation. Let's look back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And it says here, verse 28. Genesis 1 and verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of it, a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. So God gives, God, this powerful God who creates the heaven, who puts his glory in the earth, he gives man dominion over it. What is man that you are mindful of him? Who in the world is man that you have given him authority over your creation? And the problem now becomes is that Adam and Eve fall into sin, and that when they fall into sin, this glory and honor is now changed. It now becomes different. Because you see, man still maintains some degree of honor and glory, but not like it was in the beginning. You know, I often think about this, that man has an incredible, and I'm going to show you in a second, an incredible ability to reason and an incredible intellect. Now, but so does animals, right? You think, I look at sometimes outside my window in the spring, and the birds start building a nest. And it's amazing, the ingenuity that the birds use in getting these twigs and getting them wet and molding them and shaping them and you know, just taking their time and building that nest, a place to hatch their babies. But then I thought about, man, how that he can build a skyscraper. You never see a bird building a skyscraper. Why? Because a bird can't figure it out. But man has figured it out. Now, even if the bird can figure it out, there's still some capabilities that he is limited in that he can't do it. But this awesome ability that God has given to man. Now, I'm going to show you something here in a second. Because you might say, well, Pastor Glaze, because this was the thing. As I was reading Psalm 8, I thought to myself, now, Lord, how do we make this practical? You know, how do we make Psalm 8, you know, somebody, I heard one preacher say it, you know, at the end of every sermon that he preaches, he says, so what? You know, we've read this passage. We've studied this verse. So what? So what? We've read Psalm 8. So what? Well, the so what comes in this. Since you are in Genesis chapter 1, and we've said here that God has given dominion to his creation over everything else. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. Well, who is the us? Well, Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, this is, in case you didn't know it, here goes the Trinity in the Old Testament, right there. The Trinity in the Old Testament. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. If you'll go to that next slide, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? That as you sit here today, God created you in his image so that you can rule his creation. But the problem is that man has fallen and is no longer able and worthy to rule the creation like he once did. And so when you look at it, what does it mean? I've always wondered this. I've had people preach, and I've heard it taught, you know, that we are created in the image of God. And I said, I'm going to go study this thing because I really want to know, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Well, it means that we have a spiritual image. That just like God is a spirit, you are a spirit. God placed his image upon you when he gave you a spirit. That your spirit, your soul, that's who you are. So we are in the image of God. It is a moral image that God is holy. God is righteous. And when God made man in his image, do you think that God was trying to make a bunch of hellraisers? Do you think that God was trying to make a bunch of wicked and immoral people? When he said that he made man in his image, it was a moral image. It was an image that reflected a high moral character. And so he places within each and every one of us a ability to know the difference between right and wrong. was a moral image. It was an intellectual image that, again, none other of God's creation can reason the same way that man can reason. And so God creates us a little bit lower to rule over his creation. Now let's not be like the Mormons and say that we are on our way to becoming God. We'll never be God. But we have the image of God, the Imago Dei, stamped all in us. That the image of God permeates us. It's an intellectual image. Notice here, it's an authoritative image. What did he do? The two scriptures that we've looked at, that God gave his authority to mankind. And then we see it's a social image. That God was a Trinity, and there was fellowship in the Trinity. That the reason God brought the woman into the life of the man is for fellowship. And so it was a social image. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. Because we can say, well, that's back there. But go to this next slide. And we see here that man has corrupted the image of God. That when God made us in the spiritual image, and the spiritual image of God in us has been marred by the fall. And that's why man now worships demons. Man gets into the occult. Instead of man having pride and humility, instead of man being humble, he now is pride. He now loves himself. And so we have corrupted the spiritual image of God. So I'm asking you the question today, that going back to Psalm 8, God gave you the authority. Why did he give you the authority? He gave you the authority because he created you in his image. What about the spiritual? Is the spiritual image of God corrupted in you? What about the moral? The moral nature has been marred by the fall. And so now, you know, we get into pornography, fornication, adultery, alcoholism, drug addiction, dealing with sexual identity issues, because the moral nature, the moral image of God has been corrupted. Do you realize that the image of God is stamped upon you? Do you realize that the image of God is meant to permeate your character? And the fact is that he said this more than once in the Bible, that you are created in his image. It's a intellectual image. This incredible ability to reason, to think things out, and to figure stuff out, that God created us like that. He put his image on us. And we've turned it into emotional issues. Instead of allowing it to be a mental strength, that the devil came in and we have allowed the devil to corrupt the intellectual image, the mental image that God has given us. We have allowed him to corrupt it in our lives. And so we have all kind of phobias and all kind of diseases, mental diseases, and people committing suicide and schizophrenia, anorexia. All these things are a corruption of the mental image of God in your life. And then when you begin to look at our society around us and how our society has degenerated. Well, why has it degenerated? For one reason, because the image of God in their life has been corrupted. I know when I first came to Bethany and we were out in the streets and we were witnessing and we would talk to a lot of the young guys on the street and they had no regard for life. No regard for life. And many of them, as you talk to them, they didn't even expect to live past the age of 21, 22, 23. Not only did they not have respect for somebody else's life, they didn't have respect for their own life. But the Bible says, why would you strike out against another person? Because that person is made in the image of God. And if I realize that I'm a person that's made in the image of God, and you're a person that's made in the image of God, then I have respect for that. I have respect for that. And I think what happens a lot of times is that we just see so many individuals who have no fear of God. And when they have no fear of God, they have no fear of anybody else. That's why I would say if there's one thing that you can do, instill within the youth a healthy fear of God. A healthy fear of God. My one-year-old grandson, you know, he's been staying with us for the last week and a half. And every time before we get ready to eat, we pray. Now, when he first came, he wasn't praying. I'm just going to tell you like it is. But the last couple days, let's pray. All my grandkids know. When they come, and before we eat, whether we out in public or whether we somewhere, God got to get in there somewhere. And there has to be this idea they're not going to catch it by accident. It's going to come because somebody is working to instill a fear of God in the life of an individual. Because they are created in the image of God, but they're not going to recognize that unless somebody comes along and guides them and helps them to get to that point. Why did God give man authority over creation? He gave him authority because he was created in his image. Authoritative. The authoritative image of God has been marred by the fall. So man does what? Man and woman. They take their authority. And what do they begin to do? They begin to abuse the authority that they have by committing incest with children that are weaker than they are, by abusing sexually, physically, and emotionally those who might not be as strong as they are. They take the authority and corrupt it. You know, we were at a conference a couple of months ago, and June Hunt was one of the speakers, and she spoke about abuse. And one of the abuses that she talked about was spiritual abuse. And she talked about how that sometimes in the church leaders abuse the members by telling them certain things, that if you don't do this, God is going to judge you, that if you don't do that, God is going to bring condemnation down on you. And they take the spiritual authority that God has given them, and they lord it over people, and they try to abuse people. God has given us this authority, and we need to use it in a way that glorifies him. And then social. We see that God has given us a social image, that the social image of God has been marred, because now instead of fellowship and coming together in unity and union, there's now conflicts and divorce, and now we have all type of antisocial disorders. People don't want to be around other people. You know, you get on my last nerve. I don't have anything, you know, to do it. People, you know, people just burned out. Well, God was praying one time, and he said, pray for me. He said, I just have a problem with anybody who's not black. He said, I just have a problem with anybody who's not black. And he got out and started working in the community, in the inner city, and he came back next year to the prayer meeting. And he said, pray for me. He said, I got a problem with black people now. I'm just burned out. I'm burned out on everybody. Don't want to be around anybody. Right? God created us to be social beings. God created us to be social creatures. And we have corrupted it. Because now, even in the church, what do we do? Oh, come on, Pastor, don't go on here. Don't. You know, we got cliques, and you know, we got little groups, and us four, no more, and shut the door, and all that kind of stuff, right? So you know, even in the church, if we're not careful, that we can see the image of God being marred. That when I isolate myself, and I just You know, again, I realize that, you know, we develop relationships that are closer and stronger than others. I realize that. God realizes that. But don't let that turn into a click. You know, don't let it turn into something that's negative. And so we see here that we are created in the image of God. Now, Adam lost that in the fall. He lost that in the fall. So there's a certain part that the natural man will never get back. There's a part because of what Adam did, there's a certain part of the image of God that the natural man can never get back. But in Jesus Christ, when we accept Christ, and what was one of the things that Christ came to do? He came to save us from our sin. But when he saved us from our sin, that now we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which means that we have, once again, the image of God residing in us. And so all the authority, and that's why, you know, now we might not be able to, but, you know, if you look at it, what is it that man has not conquered? I mean, he's conquered all of creation. You look at it, you go to the zoo, right? You see lions and bears, right? And some of y'all were here, so y'all might have heard this before, about the guy who was looking for a job, right? And he went to the zoo. And he said, "You got any jobs here?" And the zookeeper said, that the gorillas, we haven't been able to get any gorillas. He said, "What we need you to do is put on this gorilla suit and just, you know, be out there and act like a gorilla." So he put the gorilla suit on, and, you know, first couple times he was a little timid. You know, he just stood out there and went, you know, that type of thing. And then day by day, he got a little more bolder, right? And so he started running up to the people and scaring them, and, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? And he started getting on the swing like Tarzan, and he was swinging. And then, you know, one day the rope broke, and he fell right in the lion's den. And the lion started coming to him, and the guy in the grave, he said, oh no, please, don't get, somebody help me, and the lion was coming up, and the lion got close to him, he said, somebody help me, and the lion said, "Shut up, fool, before you guys both fired." So man has dominion over all of creation. Oh, he don't have to put on a monkey suit or a lion suit. He has dominion over all creation. And in Christ, things have been restored. Now, I'm going to go, the one thing that has been restored in Jesus Christ, we know for sure, is the spiritual image. That we have the imago Dei, the image of God, stamped on us through Jesus Christ. So we should walk in the spiritual image of God. And the rest of these, you know, we should live in such a way that God is pleased with our life. And so the psalmist said, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth."
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Godly Influence coming from Psalm 11. You can get a copy of today's message from Psalm 8, A Powerful Proclamation and a Personal Reflection, if you contact us at anchoredinjesus.org or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, you can download more than 400 teachings at anchoredinjesus.org. If you would like to request a copy of the book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow, you can visit us at anchoredinjesus.org or call us at 877-831-5060. Remember, it is through your financial gifts that we remain on the air. If you would like to send a financial contribution, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034. Remember, the title of our program, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. Now, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.